the word of God for our meditation, beginning at verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, Epiphany, what does this word mean to you? In our everyday usage, people say they have an epiphany when something suddenly becomes clear to them, when they have an aha moment. For Christians, the word epiphany evokes images of the wise men crossing trackless deserts to visit and worship the Christ child, the King of the Jews. The word epiphany comes from an ancient Greek term for an appearance of a god among mortals. This same word epiphany also came to refer to the visit of a king to a favored city. The king would be greeted with pomp, and days would be spent in revelry and feasting, all at the king's expense. Similarly, this church season of Epiphany celebrates the Lord Jesus' gracious appearance to his people with signs and wonders and favors all given at his own expense. And this is what we see also in our text today, that our God makes an appearance among us at his birth and at our baptism. The verb form of the Greek word epiphany is found in the first verse of our text. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. God is here called our Savior. As our Savior, he saved us. But what did he save us from? Listen to the answer given in the verse right before our text. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. All of these sinful thoughts, words, and actions are a result of the fall into sin. In the garden, Adam and Eve were deceived into disobedience. They chose their will and their agendas and their instant gratification rather than God's will and plans for them. So also, as descendants of Adam and Eve, we have a sinful nature that turns us away from God and turns us inward towards serving ourselves instead of carrying out God's will. We serve me first, and everyone and everything else second. In our personal lives, we reflect our sinfulness toward one another in short-sighted and self-serving choices, choices motivated by malice, envy, and hatred. This is what God appeared among us to save us from, our sinfulness and our sins. This is why God sent Jesus. Our God makes an appearance among us at his birth. Christ's birth into the world is described in this way: the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. When Christ appeared in this world, he was the personal manifestation of God the Father's kindness and love toward all sinners. The kindness of God appeared. This is God's warm-hearted favor, according to which his treatment of us, as Luther writes, is such to prompt love in return. This is what the Christmas angels in Luke 2 called God's goodwill toward men. In the birth of Jesus, God's love also appeared. The word here is literally philanthropy, love of mankind. Just as a merely human philanthropist donates his wealth and gifts to benefit those in need, so our philanthropic God offers all people his everlasting friendship, full and free grace, and the gift of heaven. God's love is more than a feeling. It is living and active. Look at Jesus and you see the Father's love actively present among us. As John wrote in his first letter, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Why did God save us? What moved God to show us such love and kindness? As always, Paul rules out anything on our part, not by works of righteousness which we have done. What a relief. If God would have waited to grant us salvation until he saw something righteous in us, we would never be saved. Contrary to popular belief, you don't get to heaven by being a good person or living a good life. That is by your works, even in part. Even in our best works by nature, there is nothing that could earn God's love or forgiveness or eternal life. Because no matter how outwardly righteous our works may appear before others, when it comes to earning salvation, they are worthless. The prophet Isaiah goes so far as to say, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Ouch. So what moved God to save us? Our text answers, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Mercy is pity and compassion. Our God is rich in mercy. Our God saved us because he took pity on us sinners in our wretchedness with compassion that knows no limits. How can I, a miserable sinner, hope to receive this amazing gift of God? Let Jesus answer us as he did Nicodemus. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. This washing of baptism, accompanied by the word of God, is a means of grace whereby God saves us. As our text affirms, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God's salvation is transmitted to us through holy baptism. Through baptism, faith is worked in our hearts. Faith that receives the blessings of salvation in Christ. The first of these blessings mentioned in our text is rebirth. Each year on our birthday, we may throw a party. We enjoy birthday cake and ice cream and invite friends over and open presents. But even more worth celebrating is the day of our baptism. Our rebirth day. That is the day God gives you new spiritual life where there was only spiritual death. At our baptism, God makes an appearance among us. The rebirth effected in us by baptism makes us a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Another blessing this washing of water with the word brings is renewal by the Holy Spirit. Renewal means renovation or reconstruction, remodeling. This spiritual remodeling project begun in us by the Holy Spirit in baptism continues throughout our lives, day by day. Day by day, we tear down our old, rotten material of sin, confessing it before God, and put up the fresh new material of our new man through faith in Christ. Our new man desires to do the things that are pleasing to God, living by faith in Christ, walking in newness of life. While we are still a work in progress in this life, an ongoing construction project of the Holy Spirit, the fact is that we already have been justified by His grace. Because of God's undeserved love for us in Christ, He has declared us not guilty. And this not guilty verdict is ours by faith worked by the Holy Spirit in baptism. Our relationship with God is restored. The blessings of baptism continue throughout our lives here on earth and unto eternal life as we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs are those who receive an inheritance. Through baptism, our names are written in God's will, the book of life. Our inheritance is eternal life in heaven. And this is a sure hope. For God will never change His will. As heirs of heaven, the blessings of eternity are actually ours right now. Our incorruptible, undefiled inheritance is also reserved for us in heaven. Here we enjoy the first fruits of salvation in the midst of many miseries and tribulations, but there the Lord will throw open to us the rich treasures of His boundless store and invite us to partake of them in undisturbed happiness for all eternity. This is our joy this Epiphany season, that our God makes an appearance among us. At His birth and at our baptism. We have life now and we will have it forever. What blessings we have in this life and what a glorious future awaits us in eternity. Amen.